All right. Well, today we're going to talk about a verse that meant a lot to my dad. You know, growing up, I never really heard or people didn't talk about having a life verse. You know, people have a life verse, like just a verse that resonates with them and a verse that just kind of stands out to them. And my dad, there was always the verse in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. And, you know, my dad's been home in heaven for 13 years now. But that verse is significant, you know, not only for the fact that it's God's precious word, right? And it's that truth has helped me navigate many situations in my life, but also just means something knowing that it was such a verse so dear to my dad. The New International Version of that same verse says, "But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint." The Voice translation of that same verse, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, "But those who trust in the Eternal One will regain their strength. They will soar on wings as eagles. They will run, never winded, never weary. They will walk, never tired, never faint." And then the Passion Translation for that same verse, "But those who entwine their hearts with Yahweh will experience divine strength. They will rise up on soaring wings and fly like eagles, run their race without growing weary, and walk through life without giving up." Without giving up. You know, the enemy is just relentless. Boy, he wants us to give up completely. And thinking about that verse, it sounds so wonderful. I mean, would you agree? It sounds very wonderful. I'm channeling Pastor Mike here for a little bit of reciprocal response. How do you say it? Can I get an amen, somebody? But, I mean, why would someone not want to experience and walk in the realities of that truth? That when you wait upon the Lord, in one translation, put hope or trust in the Lord, that He'll renew your strength. You'll mount up on wings as eagles. You'll run and not grow weary. You'll walk and not faint. Why would somebody not want to do that? Three reasons why: they either don't know that that's a reality that they can walk in, they don't want it, or they don't believe it. Don't know, don't want, and don't believe. And it's hard to stand here in this church looking at your faces and think, how could someone not know the reality of God's word? And so in this body, we've been taught very, very well. But the reality is there's a lot of Christians that just don't know either that scripture or that principle or that truth. You know, I've been fortunate the last couple of years to talk with and pray with and minister to and with hundreds of guys from all kinds of walks of life. Just the diversity is off the chart. And I'm amazed at how sometimes I'm talking about truths that, quite honestly, I think we take for granted at times, that are so, you know, foundational to our beliefs, so entwined within our hearts, that you come across somebody who's never heard it before, and it's just like, how could you not? And I was talking with one gentleman once about the power of words, and spent a good hour and a half with him, just one-on-one. And at one point, he just sort of looked up through all the tears just gushing off his face, and he was probably in his 60s, late 60s. Could have been maybe younger, but pretty worn through life. And he looked at me and said, "Why has no one ever told me this before?" I'm like, "I don't know." But he went through his whole life, been around even churches, but never taught the power of words. Well, the reason people may not be experiencing the truth of Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31 is because they just don't know it. And that is also a reason for us to be doers of the word, to go out and take the truth that we know for ourselves and share it with others, right? But then there's those that just don't want it, right? I mean, they have so embraced the circumstances of their life, whether it be identifying with a sickness, identifying with a particular challenge, identifying with, you know, whatever chemical imbalance, self-induced or otherwise, they have in their life. And they don't even know what life would be like without it. They don't want to change. They don't want to experience life mounting up here on wings as eagles and running and not growing weary and walking and not fainting, because they're so self-identified with whatever the diagnosis is, self-diagnosed or otherwise, right? They just don't want it. I mean, any addict, before they're ever going to make a change, stop drinking, stop smoking, stop doing drugs, stop getting hooked on pornography, whatever the scenario is, if that addiction, if there's no desire or want to change, it's going to be very difficult to see change in your life. And oftentimes, you know, that's one of the major deceptions of the devil, right? Is to make us think that this is normal to live in this state of being weak and weary and run down and tired out and stressed out and overwhelmed, and to the point where it's like, I don't even want anything different. But the last reason why people don't is they don't believe. And I think there are some that believe, but don't believe, right? They believe in their head intellectually that scripture is true. They believe that you believe that the scripture is true, but within their heart of hearts, they don't have a persuasion that's so strong that it will actually support action in their lives. They don't have that faith built up to truly believe that when God says that if you wait upon me, I'll give you strength. I will make it possible for you to mount up on wings as eagles so that you can run the race that God has set before you. You can walk through life and not grow weary and not faint and not be downtrodden and underneath the enemy. So we have to believe. And the reality is too, as we go ahead and examine this verse, and we're going to look at some key parts of Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, is we need a purpose in our heart that we're going to place value then on what the Holy Ghost wants to speak to us, right? I mean, maybe this goes without saying, but you know, those that pastor asks to come minister in this pulpit, the expectation is that it's no longer I that lives, but Christ in me. The expectation is that we're not standing up here to speak with enticing words of man's wisdom, but we're standing up here to speak in demonstration of power of the Holy Ghost. You know, last week I had such a strong impression that the Holy Spirit had very timely and specific words, and we saw that demonstrated throughout last service. Like, half the church got up and shared something, and people were called out in very specific words, very timely words. Well, today is the same thing. You know, God wants to speak to each one of us individually, as we are the only ones who will stand before God at some point, right? I mean, we are individuals who have to answer the call that God has for our lives, but also for us collectively as a body, in the body of Christ. And so there are some timely and specific words that I anticipate God wants to speak. But then the challenge for us is, how do we purpose right now, before we even dive into all the details of this verse, that we're going to be doers of the word and not just hearers only? You know, as a kid, being taught from an early age about the parable of the man who built the house on the rock and the one who built the house on the sand. Pastor Mike probably shared that with me when I was, 7, 8 years old. I've heard it growing up. And I admit that I often thought, well, the person who builds their house on the rock, well, that's the person who has the word. They built their house on the word of God, and that's why they're able to stand when the storms of life come raging into their life. Amen. And then in contrast, the person who is built their house in the sand, well, they just don't have the word, and that's why their life crumbles when the storms come. But the reality is, that's not what Scripture describes. Both have the word, because they both heard the word. One decided to be a doer of the word, take the thing that he heard. That man is like a man who built his house upon the rock, because he heard the word of God and he purposed to do what the word of God said. Whereas the person who built their house upon the sand had the same access to God's word, because they too heard the word, but they chose to neglect and to forsake being a doer of the word. They were just hearers. And as a result of not taking action upon that which they heard, their life was like a house being built on a sand. And when the storms come and the winds blow, and they're mighty when they blow, that house completely crumbled. So as we look at Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, purpose. I'm going to be a doer of what God shows me. Not a doer of what I say, but a doer of what God's word says and what the Holy Ghost, whose job it is to bring things to our remembrance. The Holy Ghost, his job is to help teach us and instruct us and guide us. You know, you get to sit here and listen to somebody share truth to you, but the whole time you've got the absolute best tutor, the one of the Godhead who was the author on the inside of you to take the words that you're hearing through your natural ear, allowing them to penetrate into your heart and then make them real to you. And as the Holy Ghost does that today, whether it be the one word that can change your life, whether it be a paragraph, or some of you get many paragraphs, whatever it may be, just purpose to be a doer and not just a hearer. So we'll take a look at this verse. So what does it mean to wait upon the Lord? In the Hebrew, waiting, it's tied to an eager expectation. There's an anticipation. There's an eagerness. It's not passive to wait upon the Lord. You know, waiting upon the Lord is not just sort of the lazy lying around. What are you doing? I'm just waiting on the Lord, waiting for Him to renew my strength. Just very passive, nonchalant, casual. The case here, again, this is an eager expectation. You know, in life, there's people that sometimes wait impatiently. I mean, just go stand anywhere where there's lines of people, and you will observe those that are very impatient. And for some, you don't have to look very far to observe those that are very impatient. So often we wait impatiently, or we wait aggressively, or desperate, or anxious. There's just this hyped up sense of, this angst that's there. And to wait upon the Lord, within that, the other words that we saw were words like hope and trust. You know, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not yet seen. There's a hope and an anticipation and an expectation for what God has. There is a trust. You know, I mean, it's like a small child. Just, when are we going to get there? When are we going to do this? When are we going to have this? Just trust me. It'll happen. Right? Well, we have to trust our Father as we're waiting upon Him and not be in that impatient, anxious, eager, riled up state as we're waiting upon the Lord. Because the result of waiting upon the Lord is that we get to renew our strength. The Hebrew word for renew, it's pronounced chala, or it's spelled C-H-A-L-A-H. How it's pronounced, I guess, could be anything. And it means to exchange or replace. So we're not just given, you know, strength in the moment, but God's providing us with this divine exchange. You know, in Popeye, you know, he's getting beat up by, is it Bruno or Brutus? Whoever the mean guy is. And he's getting whooped all over the place in the cartoon until he's able to somehow sort of, you know, grasp at that can of spinach and squeezes it, and then it flies in the air and then lands in the one side of his mouth without the pipe. And then he's got the strength and he does the thing. And then somehow, though, he's back to a state of weakness at some point until he has that fix again. In this case, when we wait upon the Lord and He renews our strength, the power of that word is He's exchanging, He's replacing, He's taking our state of weakness and He's swapping it out for something that is entirely different and unique to God. And that is the God kind of strength. That we can be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. That we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Leaving no room for things that we can't do through Christ who strengthens us. Because He said we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So He's replacing our weakness and our weariness for a strength that comes from Him. It's entirely new. It's His strength. You know, it's sort of like with when you think about the amazing transformation that happens when we become born again. You know, we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We're saved by grace through faith, right? And then we become a new creation in Christ Jesus. It isn't that, you know, the Extreme Makeover crew comes flying into our heart and just, you know, repaints the walls and tears up the nasty carpet and puts in all new furniture and new appliances. Even it's not even that they upgrade the wiring or that they add new, you know, supports to the studs and shore up the foundation. No, it is the old man is gone. And behold, all things are made new. It's a completely new, renovated existence that wasn't there before. So it's not like, you know, God, I'm in my weakness, just will you come along and just help me out just this one time. You know, give me a little Samson strength to push down the wall and then I'll move on. No, He will renew our strength. He will exchange our weakness for His strength. So as we wait upon the Lord and accept and receive that to be true, that strength becomes ours. It's who we are on the inside. And our source of that strength, well, that's God Almighty, the one who spoke the very universe into existence, the one who was able to form all the things that we have today just through the power of his words. That's an endless source of power, and that power is ours. So we're able to have our strength renewed. You know, everything in God's word is intentional, right? We have to believe that the Holy Spirit inspired the writers of old to write the word of God, and that everything within God's word is for instruction, reproof, correction, that his word is to be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And so we expect that everything that God had is for a reason. Well, there's a reason that God used the metaphor of an eagle when he says that we're going to mount up on wings as eagles. You see, the eagle, which is just amazing, the eagle is able to soar and fly with very, very little effort. Very little effort. We got lots of eagles around our neighborhood. We spot them almost daily. We saw one once, so we had this video of a neighbor showed an eagle perched up on our bald eagle, just perched right up on the corner of our house. Probably trying to get our little 4-pound dog, but we only set that one out with the Rottweiler so that he can keep the eagle away. But the eagle's flight is effortless. They don't flap their wings very often. They flap their wings to get off the ground. They flap their wings a little bit to navigate as they're going to swoop in for prey. But they essentially leverage the power of the atmosphere. And they use very little strength, very little energy as they span their wings, flying 10,000 feet, being able to see things 8 times more clearly than we as humans can see things. Seeing farther and clearer and higher above the circumstances. What an amazing metaphor that God would use that for us. That we're able to soar above those circumstances. And if we are willing to receive that great exchange of strength that God's provided to a degree, the same way that the eagle spreads their wings and again leverages that atmosphere and that wind and that sky, well, we can spread our wings, if you will, and leverage the strength and the power of the Holy Ghost that abides on the inside of us. And those heavenly principles can be the thing that allows us to soar above the circumstance, whatever the circumstance may be. Whether it's, you know, divorce imminent, you know, job gone, sickness from the doctor telling you, you're done. Neighbors hate you, kids hate you, I don't know, whatever. Think of all the bad, crazy things that can happen in our lives. But it's possible when we wait upon the Lord that our strength is renewed to such a way that just like the eagle, we're able to soar above those scenarios. When we're relying on our own strength, then we're striving. We're exerting tons of energy and effort to move forward when we are trusting in our own strength and we're trusting in our own ability to face whatever the challenges that life might bring our way. But see, God, He's empowered us to accomplish the things that we could never accomplish on our own. It would be impossible for us in the natural to navigate all the things that the enemy wants to sort of make true in our lives. But when we trust in Him, again, this is why we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. But as I reflected on the eagle, I realized that at times there's some of us, and I've been there, where we act way more like a hummingbird than we do like an eagle. Hummingbird flaps his wings 80 times per second, zipping from one thing to the next, just all over the place. One time I was sitting on a rocking chair on my front porch in the early morning, and sun was just coming up, and it was real sweet, and this hummingbird, zoop, I mean, it right there, and it zipped over the flower, and it came right back and looked at me, and I didn't know if it thought maybe my beard was a 80 times. I mean, for those of you that want fun facts, when they're making little baby hummingbirds, it's 200 times per second. That's a lot of energy being exerted. As Christians, we can be like the eagles. It's possible for us. Or we can be like that hummingbird who's just zipping from one thing to the next, exerting tons of energy on our own strength and ability just to get through the day. Years ago, I was on the board of the Highland Business Association. Somebody referenced that earlier about something else. I think that the other Sean talked about. But what struck me, I was in charge of all the vendors and the music, and had a couple of St. Paul police officers that just found myself sort of stuck with for the 3 days. And I had a golf cart and a walkie-talkie, and for the first 2 days, every time any little thing would be squawked on that, I mean, I was in the golf cart and I was... And those cops just sat and ate their Euros and drank their coffee. And it was like, I mean, people are falling down. They're bloody. There's drunk people. There's people trying to steal. There's skateboarders. There's people arguing. I'm zipping all over the place. They didn't get up once. And finally, I just made a comment. And their answer was, I mean, in sort of not without the exact words, but the heart of it had just stuck with me. They essentially said, well, we're not going to waste our energy on all these petty, trivial things. Because there'll be a moment when there's something that's less petty and less trivial. And I need all the energy that I have in me to go deal with that. So if as Christians, we're just 80 flaps a minute trying to jump in and out of every little thing, when I think part of what it means to wait upon the Lord is to just slow your roll a little bit and just sit quietly before the Lord. There's a reason that God tells us to be still and know that He is God. I mean, there's a reason why early in the morning will I rise up and seek Thee. And early in the morning, it can be literal for you. And if you don't think it's literal, then that's okay too. Maybe metaphorically, just but there's something about an early morning. I go on early morning walks. I sit quietly early mornings, and there's just a peace and a calmness. There's an attentiveness. You just kind of can hear and pick up on so many things. So when it comes to waiting upon the Lord, sometimes it's just slow your roll. Just calm down a second and just allow yourself to settle in and let God speak to your heart. Let the Holy Ghost do what the Holy Ghost is really good at doing. Bringing those things to our remembrance, sparking that truth that you once heard before. The other type of person, though, besides the hummingbird, which is not an eagle, there's those that are eagles. But, you know, I told you my dad loved eagles. He loved this verse. And so one time we had taken him to a eagle sanctuary, like a wildlife refuge. And we dragged the, I know Grant was a little guy, Natalie was maybe just a baby, but anyway, so we went to this wildlife refuge, and it's all about eagles and just tons of information. It's really neat. And then you walked into this little area, and there's this majestic bald eagle in this cage that had been... had some type of an accident, and its wings didn't work. And how sad to be this amazing, majestic animal that God created that can soar 10,000 feet above, that can spread its wings and just be who God called them to be. Yet here's this eagle sitting in a cage, not doing what eagles do. So to the degree that there are some, and we've all been there perhaps at various stages of our life, where we're just so busy doing everything like the hummingbird, but there's also times where we are just sitting, not doing at all what God called us to do. All this power, all this ability, and we're just lazy. We're just mediocre. We're just getting through life. No spark, no fight, no energy, no zeal, no power, no sense of purpose to move forward. And that's what the enemy just loves. I mean, the enemy loves it. I've said this before because someone else said it to me and it just stuck forever, but the devil has two plans, plan A and plan B. Plan A is to keep you from knowing God, to never accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, to get you so caught up in the deceitfulness of riches, the lusts of other things, the desires of the flesh, so that you say, I don't need God, and you don't accept Christ as your Savior. But then if that doesn't work, then plan B kicks into place, which is exactly the same. How do I keep you from God? Because we can be Christians, we can have that transformation we talked about, that entire new foundation and build happens, and we're brand new in the things of God. But then we just sit. We don't do what God called us to do. And we're, for all purposes, then we're ineffective in impacting the lives of those around us. We've got our place in heaven. We maybe have moments in which we experience God's goodness in our heart, but we're really not out there being the eagle. And so the challenge for all of us is to not be either one of those. Hallelujah. So running versus walking. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings like eagles. They'll run and not grow weary. They'll walk and not faint. Running represents those intense, high-effort moments in life where we have to be running. And there's times in our lives where it requires us to run, where there's perhaps an urgency or a timing at play here, where running is necessary. You know, whether you're running away from the things that can ensnare you, you know, we're to remove our foot from evil, we're to pursue peace and run from evil. So there's a running away from, but there's also a running towards. And it's not always just running towards the promises, like, yay, there's a pile of cool stuff and let's run and get as much as we can. There's also this side of the fact that we're part of God's army, that we're in the army of God, and that we have a responsibility to be active in our duty as folks in the army of God. And there's times where you're running towards the battle. You're running, you're bringing it to the enemy. You're running to the aid of our brother or sister who's alongside of us who needs that. Leanne did a fantastic exhortation this morning in reminding us that sometimes you need someone to come alongside you. And there's two parts to that that are important. I mean, one, if you're the person who needs someone to come alongside you, don't push them away. Allow God to use people to come into your life and to speak words in due season and to lend down a hand and help you back up. We're to be like Christ. It's what Christ did. Peter walked on water, started to doubt, started to fall. Jesus put his hand out, lifted him right back up. He did that as a man empowered by God. Right? But then there's also the times where we then are the ones who need to be the ones to go help somebody out. And are we going to be so busy and so caught up in our own everyday stuff that we don't pay attention to the fact that there's somebody who needs somebody to come alongside them and to be the hands and the feet that God has called us to be? So there's times where we're running, walking. This is like the daily, steady commitment. This is the everyday stuff, sometimes the mundane. But this idea of running and walking is we're continually moving forward at whatever pace. I mean, just as I believe there's seasons certainly in our lives, there's a pace that varies in our lives. And it's important that we know what the pace setter is revealing to us. Sometimes that pace just might feel like more like a walk, and we're just walking through. Take it in. Don't get overly anxious or outside of where God's taking you through this part of your life. But when it's time to pick up the pace and run, be ready to pick up the pace and run. See, God wants us to rely on Him for the stamina that we need, so we can run or walk. And it's for the purpose of not growing weary or fainting. You know, just as much as we talked about that energy or that renewing of our strength, it's an exchange. We're not getting just that quick burst of energy when it talks about not growing weary or fainting, but we're equipped for the long haul. So whether we're running or walking, as long as we're relying on God's strength, we can endure, we can press forward without giving up. The Passion Translation that we looked at earlier for Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, "But those who entwine their hearts with Yahweh will experience divine strength. They will rise up on soaring wings and fly like eagles, run their races without growing weary, and walk through life without giving up." The enemy so wants us to give up. I mean, he's just incessant in our ear and in our minds with give up, give up. It's not worth it. You can't do it. Don't do it. But we're not to give up. And this renewing of our strength gives us the perseverance. In fact, we can have a life of perseverance. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 through 2, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith." This life of perseverance. Again, it's not just going to energize us for the moment. It's not just going to give us that burst that we need just for the moment. And then like Popeye, we go back to this weak state where we can't, you know, function through the day. But there's a continual flow of empowerment that keeps us going in any circumstance that we're dealing with. But again, the key is to rely on God's strength. His strength doesn't run out. His strength doesn't give up. His divine strength equips us for those high points and those low points in life. Whether we're in that high point or we just think, boy, thank God, the seed time and harvest, I am reaping the harvest of all the good things that God has for me, and it's just a high point and everything just seems to be going our way. Or those low, low, low points where we're literally just crumbled before God, being like, how can I get through this day? And whatever the in-between states are between those highs and lows, there's a continuous flow of empowerment that God gives us to work through any single circumstance that we have. We're able to endure and persist without burning out or being discouraged. You know, that discouragement is just a tough spot to be. You know, where it just feels like nothing's going right. And the whole world's against us. It's possible with God to move from that place of discouragement into a place where you're walking in the victory that God has for us. We know it's true because they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll mount up like wings as eagles, run and not grow weary, walk and not faint. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, "Let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time will we reap a harvest if we do not give up." Again, the enemy's drive to get us to give up is just unrelenting. But we're able to resist the devil. And we know we can do that because the Bible tells us, if you submit yourselves to God, resist the devil and he has to flee. This is a principle that God has made available to us that we can wait upon him. So we can submit to that truth and say, Lord, I'm willing to trust in you. I'm willing to put my hope in you. I'm willing to wait upon you. There's one particular fruit of the Spirit that I think applies really well to this, and I want to take heed of in my own life, and that's just patience. To be patient. To allow the fruit of the Holy Ghost on the inside of us to be patient. That doesn't mean it has to be a long wait or a short wait, but whatever the wait, as you're waiting upon the Lord for him to speak to you, we can trust him. We can put our hope in him. You know, people say often, don't get your hopes up. Well, that makes sense when you're talking about human beings. I mean, that's sound advice sometimes. You know, there's people in the natural, they're just not very trustworthy. Don't really follow through on much. Doesn't mean God doesn't love them. Doesn't mean they can't change. So it's hard to put your hope in another person or to fully put your trust in another person, because people are going to make mistakes and not always do what they're supposed to, and sometimes do what they're not supposed to. But patience. It says Pastor Mary has been encouraging us so much around that seed time and harvest, and how foolish it would be for the farmer to go plant the seed and then go home and have a meal and lay down to go to rest, but then get up in the middle of the night and run out and check that seed over and over again, just hoping it's doing its job. The fruit of the Spirit is who we are on the inside. Love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. That's who we are on the inside. We have access, a bountiful supply of character traits that are ours. Patience is one of them. Let's have some. And the reason I think we can be so confident in our patience is because of who God is. Right? I mean, so in that verse, we've been looking at chapter 31. But they shall wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength, they shall mount up with wings as eagles, they shall run and not grow weary, they shall walk and not faint. But chapter 40, verse 28 says, hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He gives power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases their strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fail or fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings as eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. I believe God has earned the right to be trusted. His word tells us. I mean, it's sort of like, have you not heard? God doesn't faint. God doesn't get weak. God doesn't slumber. God doesn't fall off the throne. God doesn't fall victim and prey to the deceitful lies of the enemy. So he is in that perfect state. He is love. All of that ability, all of that strength is perfectly in place. He's earned the right for us to trust him when he says, just wait upon me. And I assure you, you'll mount up on wings like eagles. You'll soar far above. You'll see things clear, see things farther, and exert minimal effort in our own natural ability. There's a reason why his word says that his yoke is easy, his burden is light. That we can find rest in him. We weren't designed to run around in our own strength and ability to try to make things happen. The reason the word of God tells us that we shouldn't just yield to the arm of the flesh and try to do things in our own might and our own ability. That was never God's plan or God's design. It was only till after Adam and Eve, you know, made that critical error, decided that they were going to disobey God, that suddenly now the labor and the sweat of their brow and the pain that came from work, that's when that settled in. But I can't imagine that at any point before that, that as they're laboring in the creation that God made, as they're nurturing and developing and working the land, if you will, that God had made them, that there was sweat in their brow or sore muscles. They didn't need Bengay to, like, you know, get their muscles all rejuvenated after their hard day's work. No, they had the strength and the ability to do it. Didn't even flinch. But then sin sets in and suddenly now it's painful to do it on their own. So we need to have patience in him. And he's worthy of us trusting him. Hallelujah. Nava, you want to play the piano a little bit? Let's just take a minute. You know, we're to examine our own hearts. And we can ask God to come in and just search our heart and to show us areas where adjustments and course corrections might be needed. And I'm so thankful for opportunities for communion. You know, when we have communion together as a body, or if you take communion, you know, in your family or in your home. You know, the reason communion is so powerful is because we're putting into remembrance what Christ did for us. We're putting into remembrance the fact that Jesus had his body broken for us. that he took upon himself every sin of humanity, past, present, and future, upon himself. That he allowed himself to be unrecognizable. His blood to be poured out to cleanse us and to wash us and to make us whiter than snow. So those times in communion are so powerful, but we don't have to limit ourselves to just those moments of corporate communion to just take a minute to slow your roll a little bit and get quiet before God and ask him, Lord, show me those areas where I'm acting like a hummingbird. Lord, show me those areas where I'm sitting here in this cage, unable to spread my wings and be the force that you've called me to be. So, Heavenly Father, we just come before you right now, purposing in our hearts to be not just hearers, but doers. And not just doers of the word, but doers of the work. You've called us to be workmen that need not be ashamed, but to be able to rightly divide the word of truth that you show us. We dedicate this moment, as brief as it is, to hearing your voice. To receive your strength. Father, we lift up this body. We pray life and blessing over this family. From our pastors to every member, we speak life and blessing over this family. We pray that each member might be strengthened with all might in their inner man. That each person being strong in you and in the power of your might. That as whatever lies ahead of us, whatever might come across our path, however great, however challenging, that we as a body will stand strong, having our hearts fixed, trusting in you, established upon the life-changing principles of your word, rooted and grounded in the God kind of love. That love that's filled with compassion, that's full of mercy. That love that's absolutely void of selfishness and self-seeking and haughtiness and arrogance and pride. The kind of love that has no place for rejoicing when unrighteousness prevails, but rather rejoices when truth and right prevail. That's the body that you've called us to be. Since the foundation of this ministry, Lord, as you called our pastors out of the secular world into this place to come and to establish a church and not build it on anyone's foundation, but to be plunked right in the middle of the heart of the Twin Cities. And over the years, as you've expanded us and moved us, we're determined to be who you've called us to be. Oh, we magnify you, Lord. Thank you for what's in store. Thank you, Lord, for the ability to walk by faith and not by sight. That we don't have to give up anything without a fight. That's what allows us, Lord, to be able to rejoice in advance. To rejoice in advance of the new births that will happen through this ministry. That's how we can, Lord, rejoice in advance of seeing 120 people piling into this place to receive from you. That's how, Lord, we can rejoice in advance to see demons cast out, blind eyes opened, those crippled and bound by emotional and mental and physical challenges, Lord, just broken free. Oh, Father, we can see it because we know it's true. That's how we're able to rejoice in advance. Oh, we thank you, Lord, for those prodigals that come back. For those members of this body who through whatever set of circumstances caused them to become disjointed and to separate themselves and to move on. Lord, there are some, this is their place. It's not for us to judge or be critical or to try to preconceive or to manipulate, but Father, there are some that this is their place. And so we pray for those, Lord, that are out there functioning in the wrong spot. That, Lord, you'd send laborers across their path to speak words in due season. Holy Ghost, that you'd be nudging those individuals. We pray that the eyes of their understanding would be enlightened. That they would know, Father, not just the inheritance that you've made for them, not just the power that you've made for them, the same power that raised Christ from the dead, but they would know the plans that you've set before them. And such freedom will come when those joints that need to supply get put right back in place and grafted right into place. And Lord, I thank you that it'll be as if it was hard to even skip a beat. It'll seem like they never left. Because we're assembling as a church and as a body. To be a part of exactly what you want to happen in the days ahead. Magnify you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If someone's got something, that would be an okay time. If you don't, you don't have to force anything. But if someone's got something, you got a minute.